God speaks to each of us as he makes us, then walks with us out of the night. These are the words we dimly hear. You, sent out beyond your recall, go to the limits of your longing. Embody me. We are those who have been remade and sent out. Once we did not clearly see. Once we were blinded by fear, by hostility. But then the bright light of the world led us out of our night. And now it's by that blinding light that we fully see. And now, seeing, we are sent out to embody him. Sent out, seeing. It's the same thing with this man blind from birth. This is the next of the great signs in John's gospel after the feeding of the 5,000 in chapter 6. This sign of this man receiving his sight. This blind man is remade. He is sent out. I am the light of the world, Jesus said in verse 5. And he spit on the ground. He made mud with the saliva. And then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud. What a strange scene this is. Unless you've read the dusty tale through the scripture, then the Lord formed the man of dust from the ground. We read in Genesis 2:7. God modeled humanity from the dirt, as the story is told. But again and again, God has remodeled humanity through water, through the waters of the parted Red Sea to envision a life beyond slavery, through the waters of the Jordan River as the people once again laid eyes on their home that they'd been exiled from for 70 years, through the waters of our baptism where we see a new kingdom. Through all these waters, God has brought forth a new, remade humanity. And this truth was pressed home as this man had this spitty mud pressed into his eyes. You were made from the dust, blind man. But now you are remade to see through the waters of Christ. Remade by Christ. But that's not the only object lesson to see here. Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Sent. As the blind man would be washed and see, so he would be sent. Recreation and mission always go hand in hand. This was God's vision after the Red Sea, on this side of the Jordan, for this blind man now seeing, and for us after our baptismal enlightenment. Those transformed by Christ are sent out by Christ to embody him. We are the old made new. We are water turned wine. We are meant to be drunk by the world, a world that is blinded by toil. We are witnesses of a coming age of light to a world that is stuck in the night. Jesus has remade us and sent us out seeing. But what do we see on the horizon of this world that we have been sent into? What do we see? Curiosity? Yes. Curiosity, genuine curiosity about Christ, shines clear in the eyes of some. But the eyes of others betray fear. And the eyes of others still squint in a visible hostility. I saw the story once of a man who got lost in the Amazon. And night after night, he found himself blind. But even in the black of night, he could make out these tiny, curious eyes that were investigating this stranger to the jungle. But other animals would catch sight of him, and then they would flee in fear. But then one night, there were those hostile eyes that stared and got closer and closer to him. The curious, the fearful, and the hostile eyes. So first, sent out into this dark jungle of the world, we see the curious. Verse 8. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Verse 10, "How were your eyes open?" Verse 12, "Where is the man who gave you your sight?" That's very clear from these questions that they're asking that they're very curious. What is going on here? Who is this Jesus? What did he do? Where is he? But at the same time, as much as they're curious, it's also clear that they don't see clearly. They don't know what's going on. They can't see what's right in front of their eyes. If you shine a light bright enough, like Christ, their blindness, mild though it is exposed. They're curious, but they still don't see clearly enough to see this changed man right in front of them. And they don't see that it's the power of Christ that changed him. And don't we catch glimpses of this very same thing, this very same curiosity among our neighbors? Isn't this the one who doesn't share our obvious views? Isn't this the one whose whole way of life looks like some sort of relic out of the past? Maybe they've even seen your past. And what's happened, they might ask. But they still don't clearly see. Maybe her scope of the world just hasn't been broadened yet. Maybe she just can't envision a life beyond the repressive religion that she grew up with. Maybe she has shut her eyes to the evident pleasures of the world. This is a curiosity, but it's also a blindness. So how do we respond? How do we respond to this curious blindness? You start by telling your story. Verses 10 and 11. "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." The man called Jesus has opened my eyes to a deeper, richer kind of life, worthy of the label life. By his light, I see beyond this dark show that we are all a part of and that we all put on for each other before a watching, before a judging world. And this same vision he has given to me, he can give to you too. You are sent out as the light of Christ to bear witness to those who are curious but who do not yet clearly see, to shine light on what Jesus has done for you because of who Jesus is, the light of the world. We are sent to those who don't clearly see. We're also sent to those who are blinded by fear. Blinded by fear. Skip down to verse 18. The Pharisees call the parents of the man who had received his sight. "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Because they feared. And fear has a blinding power. But then again, it is a fearful thing to be put out of the synagogue. It is a fearful thing to be on the outside looking in. It is a fearful thing to watch the mainstream flowing past you and just casting dismissive glances in your direction. It is a fearful thing to be labeled an outsider. And it is for that fear that many will not dare to behold the light of Christ because it costs too much. As Walter Brueggemann wrote, "For all our treasured talk of individual freedom, the force of homogeneity, of sameness, is immense, partly seductive, partly coercive, in any case not hospitable to difference." And we dread being seen as different. The seduction of wearing all the right cultural badges, that invisible coercion to look just like an insider of our age. It's very, very powerful. And if you're not a Christian, But you've had at least the tiniest glimpse of Christ. Maybe it's been here, maybe in your friends, maybe in your family, wherever it is. Is it perhaps the dark power of fear, fear of how others might perceive you, that is closing your eyes to the light of the one who made your eyes and who wants to open your eyes? Take a long, sustained look into your own heart and be honest about what you might see there. Is it clouded by fear? And Christians, there's a question for us. Can we, at least as Christians, can we honestly face the fact that in our hearts, we all of us long for the world to witness us cheering at all the right moments? We long to fit in. We really do. Not so that they would see our common cause, because sometimes we do have legitimate common cause with other views, right? There's overlap between what we believe and what the world might say. But sometimes we don't join in for that reason. We join in because we fear to appear as outsiders. Now take, as one speaker recently called him, and as Jesus would call him, that tax collector and sinner, Donald Trump. He's a lightning rod if ever there was one, okay? But here goes. Here's my question for us. Do we criticize him because we're trying to shine light on Christ in light of his policies, trying to point to Christ? Or do we criticize him because we want the gatekeepers to look in favor upon us? We want them to see how wide is the gap between us and other Christians. What do you see in your heart of hearts? Are you displaying your viewpoints about anything at all? Are you displaying your viewpoints for the all-seeing eye of Christ to shed light on his name and who he is, to exalt him? Or are you doing it out of fear of how others might perceive you? Are you doing it in a way, as a way of fitting in? Because you see, on one path we see, and on the other we are blinded by fear. And we are to be those who see. Those who don't see clearly, those who are blinded by fear. And finally, those who are blinded by hostility. Verse 14. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." And they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." And then later on in verse 28, they reviled him, saying, "You are Jesus' disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." And they cast him out. The source of the Pharisees' hostility is very easy to discern. In their eyes, Jesus simply didn't look the part of a prophet, a revealer of the divine, because a true prophet could never be so opposed to their worldview. But look how close their vision was. God had actually revealed to them through Moses the beauty of Sabbath rest. But they had come to misperceive entirely the heart of that command. Keep the Sabbath holy had become, watch out that you don't do one of the thousand little things that we have construed as work. The gift of the Sabbath became the tyrant of the Sabbath. And the watchmen were poised to police the boundaries and cast out the lawless. And don't we see that same thing today? The image of Jesus is set up beside our beloved worldviews, and we cannot countenance Jesus without a growing hostility as we compare the two. Now, if the Pharisees of that day were blind about what Sabbath rest entailed, we see the very mirror image in the Pharisees of today. If their Pharisees couldn't see the Sabbath rightly, our Pharisees cannot see work rightly. This man is not from God because he gets in the way of our ambitions. And just look at how close this vision is, just how close it is to reality. God actually made us to work and keep the garden, as Genesis tells us, and to hold in our hands the visible fruit of our labors. It does speak to something deep and good inside of us, right? But we have come to misperceive the heart of this command. Work and keep the garden has become Watch out that you measure yourself by your work, because everyone else is measuring you by your work. Therefore, showcase all your accomplishments. Let your name and titles shine in all the right networks among all the best connected people, and let them see how your schedule runneth over. 40 hours, 50 hours, 60 hours, 70 hours, 80 hours. All of it. The gift of work has become the tyrant of work. And the watchmen are poised to make trophies of the successful and to prey upon the weak. And Jesus becomes an obstacle to our ambitions. But what kind of worldview is this? Ambition and hard work are good things, but not when they create for us such an oppressive darkness. Not when they so consume our vision that God's face becomes dim and the faces of other people just become an invisible mass. They're either commodities for our advancement or they're just not worth our time. But Jesus shines the light on this deadly Pharisaical dark vision of ours, just like he shined the light on their deadly dark Pharisaical vision. It all had to do with rest and work, the relationship of the two. Jesus exposed the perversion of their understanding. He exposes the perversion of our understanding of work as well, as something that is completely hostile to our humanity. But the appeal of success is bright. It really is, of recognition, of being seen at the insider's table. This is the very stage on which our world commands us to perform. And again, success isn't a bad thing, nor is ambition. But when you look to live against this Pharisaical vision of work, when you look to cultivate those less glamorous qualities of wisdom and wholeness, and when Christ's light has a visible effect on your career choices, on the hours that you keep, and the networks you create, it is sometimes inevitable that you, the sent out, become cast out. Verse 29, we know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from, and they cast him out. We know that our vision of power and connection makes us feel divine, they will say, and they will want to cast you out. And so you might see yourself this evening as that lonely man in the Amazon at night. You might see yourself because of your Christian faith as some curious spectacle for patronizing eyes. You may fear how they view you, how they watch you, that they judge you. Curious, fearful, and hostile eyes. Except you're not cast out. You have been sent out by Christ. It's not night, and you are not blind. You see. You see. Because you see by the light of Christ. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see." And that's you in Christ. You see. And those who see may become blind. Jesus exposes as blind all of the false visions of life that disconnect us from him. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." I picture you through the week. I picture you sent out into your work. I picture you sent out into your relationships, to your friendships. Maybe it's your family. And it feels lonely, perhaps. Maybe you even face hostility from one of those quarters. In any case, it can look so dark sometimes. Just like this man. Trace the story. He's healed, But again and again, he's opposed, and it ends up he's cast out. And where is the Lord? He's asked that several times. Where is he? I don't know. Where is he? Where is he? Where is the Lord? You have seen him, and he it is who is speaking to you. I want you to be encouraged tonight because you're not in the dark. If you've beheld Christ, you see rightly to distinguish light from dark, to judge light from dark. You don't have to live under the tyranny of any harsh vision of life because you see. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Be healed tonight. Have your eyes opened again tonight to see Christ and to be sent out to bear witness to him as the light of the world. And if you are one who does not yet see today, I want to appeal to you. Seeing, really seeing, is better than any sort of dim vision of passing curiosity. It's better than giving in to the blindness of fear. It's better than falling prey to the blindness of hostility. So come and see Christ. See him in the people here. See him at this table. See him. Keep coming. Keep seeing. Matt's going to talk later about an Alpha course that we'll be hosting and we're inviting you to help us with. Maybe you come there. Maybe you see there. You see if Christ might meet you there. Maybe open your eyes there. God speaks to each of us as he remakes us, then walks with us out of the night. You are sent out beyond your recall. Go to the limits of your longing. Embody me. You are sent out seeing to embody Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.